are going to welcome the presentation from NHDRC, but I wanted to talk to make a brief I'm requesting you to just make a quick introduction. We are going to receive presentation from NHPS.
Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members. I was hoping that for a change, this session will come to closure without my voice being heard. And the members, I'm sure, would have appreciated that.
Thank
but thanks, Chair, for allowing me for your indulgence. Thanks for the opportunity to introduce particularly the new Chair for NHPRC. The Minister has gone through the process of appointing the Chair, and unfortunately, this committee is always ahead in getting information from institutions before that part has been dealt with. I want to take the opportunity of introducing the new Chair, fresh from the box, of the NHPRC, Reverend Mehana, who is only, I think, a month old, if not less than that, in this position. This is as a result of the resignation of the previous chair that took place sometime early this year. So I felt, in the absence of the minister, let me do that on behalf of the department. We hope this will bring a new leadership focus at NHPRC, taking cognizance of the challenges and the core mandate that this institution has on behalf of the human settlement sector. Thank you very much, Chair. Reverend Mehane, thank you.
Thank you very much. You are welcome,
thank you.
Reverend, in this human settlement family.
Thank you.
It's a good family. You will enjoy to be with us. Can we give you the opportunity just to greet us, and then we'll hand over to the CEO to make a presentation, your maiden briefing to the portfolio committee.
Madam Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, it is indeed an honor to be before you with this institution to come in account on the responsibilities which government has put on us. We are coming here quite aware of the huge task that government has put on us, and that we must come in account to these public representatives on this work. We know that we have to work with you in delivering the human settlement and regulate the home-built industry, especially given the specific tasks of ensuring that we regulate every constructor of housing, both non-subsidy and subsidy, also to protect the housing consumer, and also look after the warranty fund. We are quite aware of the responsibility of what has happened before our time. The bulk of work which is before us, the mandate which has been given through the ministry and the department, and what is expected of us that we must count before you from time to time. When we come before you, we are mindful of the fact that you have a responsibility over us. When you ask us questions, when you do your job as public representatives, we receive that, Madam Chairperson, as a responsibility that we together we have to account to the people of this country. When we receive those comments, it is only ourselves to go back and do our work. We don't receive them in any negative form. We accept that with all the responsibility, that we have got to go and do what we are expected of us to do and account to our ministry, to our department, and to the people of this country. It is our joy and our honor that our CEO, Mr. Mashinini, will lead this presentation, assisted by Mr. Courtney Thorpe, our CFO, next to him, and Dr. Mahaji, next to him, our technical director, that they will take this committee through. And thereafter, we will receive the comments and questions. We'll try our best to answer. And then when we go back, we'll do our best to do what is expected of us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Over to you, Mr. Mashina.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, we are reminded in this 10-year anniversary of NHBRC of the Botshabelo Accord, which really started the reason for NHBRC to exist and the background to which it has to work and from which its mandate came from. So therefore, in this year, we want to go back to that mandate to ensure that we do many issues in a manner that the Botshabelo Accord wanted us to do things. Thank you. Our strategic objectives, this is an abridged, summarized version of what we're dealing with at this stage. Let's look at the four strategic objectives that we put together. One is to grow, protect, and sustain the NHBRC Warranty Fund. How are we going to do that? We've currently reviewed and revised NHB pricing model, reduce operational costs, market and brand NHBRC, introduce new products in the market. We will talk more about those and the effect of that when we look at the financial implications thereof. Second strategic objective is to provide innovative quality homes that will satisfy and protect the consumer. We are mindful of the fact that the consumer needs to be protected, and most importantly, quality homes must be delivered consistently throughout South Africa, not only in the urban areas, but both urban and rural areas. We will do this by improving operations in terms of quality of service. We've already started that by ensuring that we increase our office network. We increase engineers in all the regions that we've are of growth area and regions that have problems. Expand housing consumer education initiatives, and we've dealt with that as well by making sure that consumers are a priority in terms of what we deal with, and we've got educational programs that we're running through. The most important issue in terms of protecting the consumer is the National Rectification Program, which we will deal with in detail, as we have been appointed by the National Human Settlement Department to manage this program on their behalf. We'll deal with those and the statistics that lead to the reason why there is a rectification in South Africa. Strengthen NHBRC operating processes, systems, and procedures. We're dealing with quite a lot of research that deals with various products and services. The key issue here is to increase service delivery. In terms of what our mandate is. That is, protect the consumer, that make sure that homes are built
and quality homes, and also make sure that there shall be no rectification, because government should never spend twice on one house when this institution exists. Okay, so that's what we're dealing with. Develop NHBRC standards and brands. And fortunately, on Monday, we had a deliberation and discussion with all the institutions in the housing. The question of standards in rural areas, we also talked about it on Monday. So when the issue was raised, we were with Ralph to try and help them to upgrade certain standards and to try and help with designing of certain products. Or housing products that will assist in that.
Okay. Hey, my apologies for the interruption. I noticed that the copy we've got is not the same as that. There's some additions.
Yeah,
may I just ask that the presenter maybe just as he goes through point out the additions that's been made? Please. Thank you.
Most of, majority of members are look puzzled. So if you can at least just indicate what we are referring to. There's, because we are looking at the screen, everyone is looking at the screen, but there's more information that you are.
I don't have all, this is the one that we gave. All right, let me. We've added some few elements in this.
Yes.
Establishment of, in this, it's the legislative review. Which is not here on item 3. And
what you can do, Mr. when you continue presenting, you highlight that there's the new information that we have added. Otherwise, there's nothing wrong. We all understand that you met on Monday.
Yes.
So there are changes that have been made. But you can just indicate what is, has been added. And then at the same time, after the session, you will make sure that you receive that revised document.
Yes.
Thank you.
In the strategic objectives point 3, we've added the legislative review, establishment of investigation, and an enforcement unit. We're currently busy with the legislative review that will deal with reviewing the Act of NHBRC since its establishment. It has not been reviewed. It has been overtaken by a number of other acts, the Consumers Act that has, that will be enforced as early as April, May this year. It has overtaken some of the issues that we need to deal with. So we need to align our Act in line with a number of acts that have come in place. So that there's this constitutionality of our act as well. The key issue that we which is something that we're extremely happy and proud to introduce, is the establishment of the investigation and enforcement unit. Since we are on the big drive of the rectification program, and there is a need to do quite a lot of these investigations, and enforcement of the our act in most of these issues that we're dealing with. That will help with the recovery of monies that the state has paid incorrectly. That will also deal with prosecution. That will also deal with disciplinary that may lead to deregistration. That will also deal with issues of shoddy workmanship in a manner that is consistent across the country. So the fourth objective is create a learning environment and build capacities to introduce products and services. The improve, strengthen energy human resources, review and develop human capital strategies. So now let's look at the issue that I talked about, which is the National Rectification Program. What we've done, we've divided the rectification program into two, which is the pre-2010 and post-2010. But before pre-2010, there is a
It's a new edition that which has been modified in terms of the slide, and just done differently so that it becomes understandable. There is an issue that deals with pre-202. Pre-202, a number of homes were not enrolled in accordance to the Act. Not that the Act did not exist, but the issue that we're dealing with, there were a number of homes that were not enrolled. We're dealing with PHP's projects and homes that were not. I don't know what's happening here now. That were not enrolled. RDP houses were not built. Were not built in accordance to SABS standards and technical requirement of NHBRC. Some of it because NHBRC did not exist at that particular time. And the other issues, there were also no homes that were inspected at that pre-2. So hence, we have a number of problems that relates to quality, shoddy workmanship, houses that have had no foundations, houses that don't meet any building standard in South Africa. Some of the issues of pre-2. Now, we, from our statistics in terms of the National Department of Human Settlements, we've got a data that about 3 million houses have been built, just over 3 million houses that have been built, which relates to from 1994, and we've added made an assumption that 240 units have been delivered by the end of this financial year to come to that number. Then we also analyzed our own statistics at NHBRC. We found that only 409,000 units have been enrolled with NHBRC, leaving a 2.6 million units that have not been enrolled. And that's the number of units that are at high risk in terms of rectification. We then looked at a desktop study, and we came up with a number of formulas that relate to the issues of what's the potential or what is the impact of these 2.6 million units. Then we looked at that 40% of houses under risk will have workmanship-related problems at a cost of about 12,000 per unit. And some of them, we've already confirmed some of those issues as we were doing the assessment. In KZN, quite a number of these units that we've assessed, their roofs are a major problem, the old asbestos roofs. So therefore, if you need to go back there, you need to remove all of that roof, and the cost of just the roof would be around 7,000 rand, but you also now deal with a host of other issues. Asbestos needs to be treated differently. There's a health element to it. You've got to go and dump it in a safe place so you don't take it and dump it somewhere else. So that's that added cost. But also asbestos needs to be removed by specialist units. Not everybody is allowed in this country to remove asbestos because of the problems that asbestos will face or people will be faced with. And then we also looked at estimated cost of rectifying minor defects, and 40% of the 2.6 is 1 million and times 12, that's about 12 billion rand. There's a need for 12 billion rand to deal with. The 40% will have minor defects. And then looked at approximately 20% of units will have serious major structural defects. We're looking at about 609,000 rands, where you're actually dealing with, you've got to demolish 609,000 units completely and rebuild them at the current cost of the current cost in terms of the quantum is about 87. We've used the
87,000 units. And then we multiply that by the number of units, you get about 46 billion rand. That's a simple mathematical or numbers that you add together, and you'll get that. So the total remedial work cost is therefore about 58, which will basically does not deal with the demolition cost, does not deal with the investigation, does not deal with interest over a period of doing this work. All right. It also does not cover disposal of a host of those material that needs to be disposed in a manner that will protect the consumer. So that's what we're dealing with. So what we are then talking about is that all houses that need to be demolished or rectified, they will require some enrollment, because if these houses have been enrolled and there is this poor workmanship, NSBRC would not have existed, because it would have been wiped out completely. Because NSBRC's value is about 3 billion. Now, we are talking about work that needs to be done is about 58 billion rand. So, therefore, you would have no institution. But, however, the good thing is, if these units were enrolled, inspection would have taken place, we would not have any rectification. To date, we have not experienced any need to demolish houses that have been enrolled with NHBRC. Out of the 400 and something units, we have not experienced one case so far. Which means then, therefore, if the houses were enrolled, there would have been a protection of some kind. And the cost of enrollment of these units is about 1,200 rand. You buy insurance for 1,200 rand, you save billions of rand. So it's cheap, and it is reasonable. So let me then move forward to indicate, because that's already known. We also looked at the numbers. We've estimated the total cost, which include professional fees and various other fees that are required to. Once we've built all of these houses, we enroll them, demolish them, it will cost about 64.4 billion rand. Our assumptions are right. Now we'll prove that our assumptions are right as we move forward with what we've done now in KZN and the Eastern Cape. NSBRC will assure that quality standards are met and relate to the building regulations, because we know there are very few comebacks in terms of workmanship when these homes are enrolled with ourselves. They will also enjoy a 5-year structural warranty cover, meaning that we will take care of that house if needs to be demolished, not the state. Our insurance will cover it, will pay for it 100%. So we are dealing with the benefits that we will be training during this rectification, training a number of builders. We'll also have a central registry of material testing. What we've also done recently, Dr. Mahaj, you may talk about when we come to Stepmore Makuzwana, the material that we've tested, where there are lots of problems we're dealing with. So we're also saying, we do have the capacity to do what we want, we are appointed to do. Our customer-centric approach to delivery is working for us, because we make sure that if a house is enrolled with us, 14 days after we communicate with the customer about his or her right, and we also make sure that the builder and the consumer meet, and we inform them about the warranty. something that we started last year, and it is working. Yes, there are some problems here or there, but we are moving in the right direction. We've now placed technical staff in all provinces. We didn't have structural engineers in some, they were all centralized. Now we've got your technical structural engineers and quantity surveyor and project managers in all specific regions so that we can fast-track service delivery. We are now also increasing our office sizes. Recently in KZN, we've increased our office size in Eastern Cape as well so that we can make sure that we have all of those. We've also, through the council, also negotiating to make sure that we have a specialized list of contractors that can do this work of rectification rather than to go back to the people, to the market, and get the same people that caused this rectification. So we are doing that as well. We've already got an approval from council to shortlist about 10 specialist units that will do the forensic investigation. Together with the SIU, we have screened most of those as well. In partnership with them so that we can move forward with ease. Okay. Let's talk about the pilot project. We were appointed by the department to start two pilot projects in KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape. In KwaZulu-Natal, in terms of the prison numbers that we've been given, there are about 160,000 units that are under investigation. There will be more. Out of that, we've finalized this 27,000 units. As at yesterday, we had already finished about an additional 36,000 units. Okay. We found that 80% of the units that we have assessed out of the 27,000 require total demolition. The expensive rectify 12, 16 square meter and 30 square meter units, so we'll move into the 40 square meter now. So in the Eastern Cape, it's about 178, that's preliminary numbers, 178 units that are subject to forensic investigation by ourselves and the Eastern Cape as well. In this pilot project, we finalized 36,000 units. The study indicates that 63% of those units to be, they required to be rebuilt at 87,000. 112,000 units would require that. Multiply by that, you require about 9 billion rand in the Eastern Cape in terms of the study that we've just done. And 37% of these units require rectification at an average of about 30,000 units. 30,000 rands, that's about 1.9 billion rand. The total is about 11 billion rand prelim. Yes, there will be jobs that will be created in the process, and so forth. So let's... But these are the results that we're dealing with. Can you take us through just some of these? These are the results of the... this is just the pictures of KZN. All right.
Chairperson, these are some of the investigations that we've done in KwaZulu-Natal. You see that the first slide, top left, the typical no foundation. There is actually no need to actually go in detail because once there's no foundation, which is supposed to be the base of the house, then you actually do not find just leave it on there. Yeah. So you find that most of the houses, they are actually built on surface bed. So if they are actually built on surface bed, right, there's no foundation. Any differential settlement of the ground movement, this will be a total collapse of the house. Right. In one of the areas, yes, there's been a house that actually fell on one of the grannies there, was ending up killing the granny there, living in that residential area. You also find a lot of those houses with cracks above the windows. Above a window or above a door is supposed to be a beam, which is called a lintel. Most, if not all, of the houses do not actually have those lintels. Right? You actually also find that a number of the blocks are laid with mud instead of you actually using the proper cement mortar. And in a number of cases, you also find that the roof anchorage is actually done by the homeowners, which means that instead of you actually providing the relevant roof anchoring, you actually have to tie in a number of blocks. From a safety point of view, if those blocks actually fall on any of the kids, they can actually hurt or kill a kid. Right? So there are a number of those challenges. You also find then that where there is no foundation, theoretically, what we've looked at in terms of the reports, a geotechnical investigation is supposed to be done. A geotechnical investigation means that you go and take some soil samples. From the soil sample, you then be in a position to determine, is this clay, is this sand, is this whatever type of soil you're dealing with, and you then design a foundation to suit the soil conditions. But you then find that there was no geotechnical report done. There was only a preliminary geotechnical done, but there was a variation, a 15% geotech variation, which was actually claimed by the contractor. A 15% geotech variation usually means then that you are actually getting a variation because you provided a raft foundation. Right? So in this case here, there's no foundation, but there is a 50% geotech. So these are things that we're actually going to investigate and unpack and actually see what are the impacts of the work that was done by the professionals as well as by the contractors. By the professionals, we have engaged with the Engineering Council of South Africa to see then that all those engineers who have signed off the foundations must be taken to task. Right? So Engineering Council is willing and is actually going to assist us in taking disciplinary action to the professionals. From the contractor side, as NHPRC, that is actually our mandate, which says that all the home builders, although the houses were not enrolled with the NHPRC, we actually need to investigate and take the necessary disciplinary action against the home builders. And this is the reason why the CEO highlighted initially saying that we are establishing a business unit that is going to focus on the investigation of the defaulting builders as well as the negligent professionals.
These are not old houses. This one that has no surface bed,
which is no surface bed, it's not an old house. It's a house that was built less than 3 years ago. It's actually about 18 months ago. There are 433 of them, no foundations at all. The house where there are bricks hanging, you can see in the picture, this is a new house. It's not an old house. It's a house that was, it's actually less than 6 months. This house is less than 6 months. We haven't shown you the other pictures where they've put anchors and wires and everywhere to stabilize the house. So let's look at the number of these pictures.
You look at some pictures.
Yes. Let's look at this. This is something that exists today. We can go and see it in KZN in Durban. It's worse than this. The municipality built these houses. These are flats. Excellently. The developer and the contractor has built excellent work. You can see it. Meets all our standard. Inspected. Did everything else. The municipality employed a contractor to put services after houses have been built. Pipes, sewage system, and everything else. All of those houses and flats have cracked. All of them would require to be demolished.
Oh. Sorry, where is this?
This is in KZN, KwaZulu-Natal. So.
When you provide us with information, you have to list these areas because we have been to KZN. That you have to indicate which area, and so that we can also make a follow-up in our in our oversight, when we are overseeing you guys now. So it is important for us to get the list of these areas.
What we will do, we will type the area on the picture.
Okay.
Mm. So that, and then we will then resend some of these pictures because they are real. Okay. So these are the services that are being done after. So let's move on just to show. All right. What we are saying then, therefore, after issues that deal with pre-2010, all substandard houses will be demolished and rebuilt, and will enroll these homes. Has referred the engineers, Dr. Mahaj has talked about this already. We are busy investigating a number of these units. We will be finalizing a budget that relates to the total rectification cost in the next 8 weeks. We're then saying all houses will be inspected by NHBRC. That is post 2010. We've made a commitment that we will inspect each and every house. To that effect, we've already employed inspectors across the country in the subsidy units. All houses will be enrolled. We are trying to enforce with some element of difficulty with some of our shareholder departments. That's what the warranty provides, 5-year structural warranty cover. We will continue to provide more training and imaging to emerging home builders. Housing consumer education will continue. And in terms of the revision of the Act, we will be bringing in the alterations and additions, maintenance of houses as well, because part of the problems that we are facing, we're doing a study recently which we've been appointed by the department to look at houses, rental stock in Western Cape. Doc, can you tell us, it's a maintenance problem.
Yeah. I mean, most of the houses really, they have maintenance-related issues. Maintenance in terms of the windows, the doors, the electrical wirings. There are also issues which, in terms of the current Act and what the NHBRC is liable for, these are things which we call serviceability. Serviceability in the fact that they do not necessarily affect the structural integrity of the top structure. But these are issues which could be related to dampness, for example, right? But dampness can be a health hazard issues. So some of those issues, there are quite a lot of serviceability-related issues that need to be addressed. And this is the reason why, in the revision of the legislation, we are now saying, I think we need to actually address these workmanship-related issues. We also need to be able to address maintenance issues and some of these serviceability issues, because ultimately, if it does affect the health of the beneficiary, of the homeowner, we need those things need to be addressed so that the homeowner is protected at the end of the day.
The other major issues in these houses, which we've just witnessed, houses are built when there is no infrastructure services. When you put the infrastructure services, you need to demolish those houses because the infrastructure has an impact in terms of those houses. And particularly, we've seen now in KZN where there are these problem areas as well. So part of the major issue is that there's water, the roads are not properly, and then if you go to Umlazi, for instance, the terrain is so bad that the house is up there, the road is somewhere down here, you need about 3 levels of steps to go to your house. Now, if you are elderly and there are no rails on those steps, and those steps are made by communities to help themselves, so there is no way that an elderly sick person can go to her house or his house because of the terrain and the infrastructure that we're dealing with. We will take risk in inspecting all of the homes, even if they are not enrolled. we will deal with some of these issues later. We'll continue to cross-subsidize, which we will show from subsidy to non-subsidy. We'll implement, which this is our developmental responsibility as NHBRC, to plow back through the cross-subsidy. And in a new enrollment process is being done to ensure that we short-circuit quite a lot of other issues, particularly with the geotech investigation. Municipalities and our brothers and sisters in the departments are sometimes clueless about basic things of these issues that we deal with. So we've adopted a proactive approach to run workshops to ensure that they deal with these issues. The major challenge would be as we move forward to the accreditation of municipalities. Some of them are fairly weak. They don't have engineers themselves. There are these challenges that we're dealing with. At our meeting on Monday with the department, we're coming up with a plan to try and force and make sure that there is transfer. Before the powers are totally transferred, we're going to be working with them together to say, remember that you are taking new responsibility as a municipality of building homes. These are the procedures that are required to do so. That we are working together to make sure that things happen and to make sure that rural houses are also enrolled and the PHP are also enrolled, because our major problem is in these areas, rural houses and PHPs. We've also set up a forensic investigation business unit to deal with these engineering forensic investigations that we're dealing with, because they are on the increase rather than on the decrease, simply because we know that in a competitive environment, it is an easy entry point to build subsidy homes. So a number of people, a nurse has been there for 20 years, a prison warder has been there, and then tomorrow he builds houses. Okay. Doesn't even know how to mix mortar. Has no clue about foundations. So those are the areas where it becomes easy to enter into this area of building. But that's where the problems are. Right. We are hoping that, and we believe that we've now helped all the departments to come up with proper design for future homes. These are the typical homes that we have now designed. They are being implemented. These are not theories. These are being implemented already. And if you go to Ekuruleni, Chief Albert Luthuli and others, these houses are there. They exist. With a top-up sometimes of about 10,000 rand, you can actually get more. So these are some of the issues that pre or post 2010, things will be different. And things have become different already. So we are moving with speed in making that difference, in protecting the consumer, and most importantly, protecting the fiscals of this country and protecting the taxpayers of this country by not spending twice on the same house again. We talked about the training, and these are the training programs that we deal with. I'll hand over to Courtney now to take us through, in terms of our budget related issues, to the issues that we deal with. So you and Jeff can exchange some things.
I think just before we get into the budget, just a final few slides on inspections, because there are a number of issues pertaining to the inspections. In terms of the Act, which is the Housing Consumers Protection Measures Act, it clearly says that the council, the NHBRC, shall enroll and inspect the categories of homes that may be prescribed by the minister. And in this case here, we're looking at houses that have been enrolled by the NHBRC. And any house that has not been enrolled by the NHBRC theoretically is not supposed to be inspected. But if the CEO has made a commitment of simply saying now that all the houses will be inspected, irrespective of what the Act is saying, but we will go and inspect all houses at risk, whether they are enrolled or they are not enrolled. In terms of our critical success factors, how would we know then that, all houses have been inspected? We say that we need to educate and train the home builders. That is a must. All home builders must be trained. Right? We give the statistics of how many builders we are going to train. We need to make sure then that there is an acceptable level of technical competence of all home builders. We will not be in a position at the moment to do away, right, with those home builders who are coming from different backgrounds without the necessary technical competencies. So at the moment, what we need to do is to ensure then that all home builders without the relevant technical competencies have been trained, so that we can have a reduction in the claims against the warranty fund, which would actually be a high risk to the NHBRC. We also need to maintain a high profile of NHBRC visibility, so that at least at the end of the day, we know that each and every house has been inspected. By inspecting also, we get statistical data that is going to guide us in terms of our proactive decisions on risk aspects, and we'll be in a position to also give statistical feedback to the industry. And we then achieve a reduction in the cost of an inspection through an optimized inspection process. In terms of our post-2010, what is it that we're actually looking at? Right? Our current inspection model, that is before 2010, we're outsourcing all the inspections. But we are now simply saying, looking at the numbers and looking at the efficiency of doing an inspection, we come up with a hybrid model, a hybrid inspection model where we partly outsource and we also insource inspections where we do not have high volumes. These are provinces such as your Northwest, Mpumalanga, the Free State, the Northern Cape. Those provinces, small provinces, we are going to insource that. And then the provinces where we have high volumes, like the Western Cape and the Gautengs, we will then outsource those. So we're actually going to implement a hybrid model post-2010 moving forward. And this hybrid model has actually resulted in a huge reduction in our inspection fee. Before the before 2010, it was costing us on average $2,500 per home to do the inspection, but moving forward, that inspection cost is going to go down to about $1,700 without compromising the quality of the inspections, because then we insource where it's relevant for us to do so. Then the implementation of the on-site inspection monitoring system through the use of the personal digital assistant. Some of you have not actually seen what we use as a personal digital assistant. On the left and right hand side there is a photograph of a palm top digital, a personal digital assistant. And with this digital assistant, we are able to precisely see whether an inspection has been done or it has not been done. The personal digital assistant uses the GPS coordinates, which would mean then that no inspector can actually inspect a house without being at the relevant coordinates of that particular house. Right? And this PDA is, in fact, the tool that we are actually using to inspect all the houses. On average, we are actually doing now at least 6 inspections per house, and I think I would then hand over to Courtney to take us through the financial aspects.
Committee members, we better now going to look at what is the cost in HBRC to inspect a unit or a home. On the left-hand side, we have the subsidy sector, and the right-hand side, we have the non-subsidy sector. We will compare them. The subsidy sector is based on about 105,000 units, and the non-subsidy sector is based on about 33,000 units. The figures will then turn back if you multiply the figures out. So our average enrollment fee...
No.
Let's continue taking the. I requested you to highlight when you are giving us a new information. But because we are not going to be sitting here, we let's use this time valuable. It means that if we have to send this information, but try by all means to explain thoroughly, in fact, during the interaction. And I think, DJ, you have taken note of this. We don't want to experience this next time. It's really, 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 your interaction has made some disruptions, but it was a positive move. But it is your responsibility to make sure that after your interaction with them, you make sure, because you remain accountable. At the end of the day, you are accountable. So make follow-up with this information that is sent to the portfolio committee. It's relevant. But I think we are still going to engage. We are still going to call NHPRC before the portfolio committee. But it is important that you give us valid information now. Okay. Mr. Steyn?
With respect, I wonder if NHPRC shouldn't come back at another time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why, Chair. It's not this one mainly. But the whole purpose was to do the to get the strategic plan. We've now been given in that first presentation very interesting information, but for me, it's based primarily on the fact that there is legislative amendments coming to the Act. The fact of the matter is, as it stands, doesn't give the NHPRC the responsibility of setting up the unit that they're talking about, however much we may want it, and I therefore don't see how we can actually consider using that in a strategic plan. When I would imagine the Act today, and the DG must assist me here, those amendments that they're proposing that will give them the responsibility to do these other things hasn't been done in the Act. It hasn't even come before the committee. It could take another 6 to 8 to 12 months. Then we're looking at the strategic plan for 11-12 or 10-11 that is in, or 11-12 years, where they in fact can't fulfill these things from a legislative point of view.
Mr. Steyn, let's allow the presenter to finish the presentation and then we raise our comments. But I think from the information that we are receiving, we still have an opportunity to utilize some of that information. Because if you are basically relating to the threat plan, at the end of the day, there are questions that we would like to pose to them in relation to their 2010 and 2011 performance targets in relation to the presentation. But I think there's quite a lot of information. If you are basically looking at the State of the Nation address, we still have an information that you can access from the NHPRC. So let's let them, and then at the end of the day, Sima Panish. But let's listen to the presentation now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, the figures I'm showing you now are basically in the actual budget for next year. The intention of the slide is basically to show that what we receive as an average enrollment fee for subsidy and non-subsidy, taking out the outsourcing spectral costs to get a contribution, the direct fixed expenditure for and in-house inspection, then we basically get the cost of our actual quality assessors, and it ends up at the end we find that the subsidy, the cross subsidization between subsidy and non-subsidy, is about R1,039 per subsidy unit that NHBRC is contributing. So if we take those figures and we say basically the inspection cost plus the fixed cost that the non-subsidy is contributing towards the subsidy, our development contribution comes to $155.2 million. It's just to give an idea of being the cross-subsidy element between the two sectors. based on the fees that we're getting in the subsidy sector. And then the major of the 104, because we've got the inspection cost of 51, that is basically staff costs, infrastructure costs, and administration costs. Let's go to the budget for 2000, next year's budget. The subsidy sector is based on a quantum of 86,563. We know that's broken into two elements, 1% on the project enrollment, 0.75 for the home enrollment. The non-subsidy sector is in terms of our regulation, hasn't changed since our inception, so those figures and those scales have remained the same since the start of the NHBRC, and these are the figures that we would use in calculating our revenue streams. The final valuable products and our trends and values. We are forecasting registrations to be basically the same. There's a slight increase in next year. Our feeling is that we are looking at developers in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo, and those basically give the reason why we expect a few more registrations in those areas. The rand value goes up slightly, 3.9 to 4.1. Renewal, we're finding that we believe because of the new activities in Gauteng, KZN, based on our statistics, 12,000 of the home builders will come back, while we're only expecting 10,500 this year. That will bring in a 6.3 million. Obviously, the big area for the NHBRC is the enrollment of the units. You notice we're forecasting 30,000 units this year, and we're going to 33,000 next year. The reason being that there's increases in Mafeking, Hartebeest, Rustenburg, and the KZN areas in Newcastle and Ballito. So those are the areas why we've just gone about 3,000 extra units. The enrollment fee in rand will go from 232 million to 264 million. And just to link that right to the bottom of the slide, the average enrollment fee, looking at the cost of houses we expect to be built this year, is about 7,745 rand per unit. And next year we're expecting 7,964, mostly inflation but related. Late enrollment is just a function of the enrollment process, and we just look at the trend there, and obviously the idea is to keep reducing the late enrollments. The subsidy side, the forecast this year on the projects that we've received is only 14,000 units, and we're hoping to receive 105,050 next year. The subsidy project forecast for this year is 9 million. We're expecting 91 million if the whole 105,000 units in the projects come out of each of the provinces. The enrollment of homes, this year we're above target of 80,000. You'll find, because last year if you look at our actual results, you'll find that we were ahead of target on the project side. And because the project side, that is basically with the delay, is now we are over budget this year in the enrollment of homes. Expecting 80,000 units to be enrolled this year, and looking hopefully at 105 as well next year. That brings in 38 million on the forecast this year, and next year we're looking at 68 million. The expenditure trend, because I know the committee has got the full detail, and we can go through all the figures, and the issue is not to actually get into the detail, but we'll just go through the high level. I think our forecast basically is the blue, the first blue, and then our next year's budget is basically the next column, the purple next door to it. Now, if we look at operating income, we're finding that the operation costs have increased. Make sure I've got it right here in front of me. The major reason for the operation increase between our forecasts this year and next year, as I spoken earlier, was the total new outsourcing of the subsidy inspectorate. We're looking at bringing online another 57.9 million there. And that is the whole issue of us putting the effort into the inspection models. And it's not, even though we brought costs down on the non-subsidy, it's the massive increase in the subsidy infrastructure that we are bringing online. Administration costs is virtually standard, it's flat. It's just basic inflation. The payroll cost is basically the cost of our council. Employment costs. Stop at that one. Per know, the NHBRC has been in this organizational redesign now for the last year. And the actual figures for this year and the forecast will not have all the new jobs and the new structures in place, like enforcement and whatever we want to decide. Now, in the next year's budget, they have all been budgeted for. So effectively, the NHBRC has reduced the number of people, and they've changed the quality of people, number one, and they've increased its services. That comes with a slight cost. So basically, your budget goes from 151 to 167. Remember, we've been working from a low base at 151 because due to the organizational change, we didn't fill all those posts. So effectively, if you had to fill the posts in this current year, we would show a reduction. Single burial costs and the fixed costs, I'll talk to them as one. I think we've spoken that the biggest impact this year has been the opening up of all our provinces and making them more accessible. There's a lot of emphasis being put into our marketing side. That is, and that in turn is the international conference that we're bringing to the country for this year. So I think that the marketing costs is the new branding. And the new international and the conference that we're going to have in South Africa in September. So coming forward, that is where the big drive, and that's why you find in the foreign year that the budget actually comes down again. That is the impact of that. The second part of this is basically as you do expand and as you do go to PDAs and as you go to all these other wonderful, all the technology we are putting in place, we are experiencing quite a demand and a higher increase in our IT costs because we have to service all these hybrid models now, internal and external, to ensure that the inspection process and all other processes and the connectivity to all our actual processes is improved. That ends up that the NHBRC breaks even for the year. So we're looking at trying to maintain the business with about a 3 million profit, meeting all these new demands that we have, funding them from a lower income base. And the lower income base is the housing market just hasn't recovered sufficiently. Going to the details now, we're going to just go through it quickly, and we're just saying the subsidy will generate 166 million, non-subsidy 283 million, and our total budget is 450 million. Operating expenditure 64 58-122, mostly inspection costs. There are other risk but mitigating expenses in there, like the accreditation of home builders. We accredit them to ensure the home builder has the capacity to build the house. Fixed expenditure, we have been through. There's a direct 8 million for the subsidy, 212 for the non-subsidy, which is in the graphs, and the 220. The cost subsidization to show you is the 104 million, which I showed you earlier, which is highlighted out of the figures so you can see what the cost subsidization is. The deficit then for subsidy is about 10 million. The non-subsidy is a profit of 13, and there's my 3 million profit for the year. From investments, we are looking at 256 million, and because of the cost subsidization, that investment is generated in via the non-subsidy sector. So we're looking next year after interest. So before interest, we have an operating profit of 3 million. After interest, we have an operating profit of 258 million. This financial position of the NHBRC, the non-current assets, consists of basically our investments and consists of our fixed assets. I'll break the investments down in a minute for you. The current assets is mostly debtors, and it's basically government debtors. Reserves, I think you know where the reserves are, the investments in the different investment schemes that we have. Liabilities is mostly, at this point in time, largely VAT, but in terms of the laws, we are going to deregister for VAT coming 1st of April 2011. Maybe not 2010. What do you mean? I mean 2011. Okay. 2011. So come April 1, we're going to deregister for that, and then there'll be substantial drop in the current liabilities, mostly that. Technical liabilities, there's an actuarial figure, which we only do once a year, and those figures are not available as yet. We will have them at year end, and we just can't guess them. I could put any figure then, but I could not but substantiate them. That is the actual valuation of our liabilities under the fund. current warranty, we're giving the figure as at 2012. We've got 1.2, we've got 1.2 billion sitting for the warranty fund reserves at the moment based on the last actuarial. We wait for the new one, that'll change. But the working capital reserves are 740. That's how we're funding all these other projects to make sure, and you know, to keep the business going in the declining market. And then the investment but reserve of 1.3 billion. So you find our total reserve at 2012 is 3.3 billion. Basically, what I've presented now are all the figures that have been included in the strategic corporate plan as submitted to the department. All this information you'll find at the back in the financial section is the actual budget that we have put through to the department as well. To save time, and knowing that the committee is busy and that we didn't want to go too detailed in all the figures, because it's just, I want to just make the highlights. So the details are there, and we can take questions on details. At this point in time, we'd like to thank the committee, and the NHBRC will contribute to continue to assist all spheres of government in the delivery of sustainable human settlements. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think you have covered some of the issues that we are having in our document. But what was most importantly is the budget for 2011-2012 in your performance. Your performance. In terms of, for instance, I've got a document here that reflects that you are going to, it's written inspection costs, where you are saying we have listed all the provinces there. So I think that information is very much valuable for us, that you should have presented before the committee. Because here you are giving us your performance targets, where we are going to evaluate yourself after this financial year. And another information that you missed, it is very much important because the training part of it is very crucial, as the president has alluded to it in his State of the Nation address. So we are going to evaluate yourselves in terms of this information that you have not managed to share it with us. But another issue, okay, let me first leave the comments from the member. Are you able to talk to this? Because time is against us. If you can talk to this information, and then I'll give the members an opportunity to comment and raise some questions of clarity.
Madam Chair, there may be or seeming that there's a confusion. What we have, we've extracted this information and summarized the information and laid it out slightly differently, but the information is similar to the information provided to members, though it is summarized. When you look at the inspections, we also, in the slides that we're presenting, we didn't give the details, but in the slide that we gave to the members is the details, but it is it's the same information that we're looking at. So
this information is very valuable. As I think, we are going to evaluate yourself in terms of this information. It's good that you know, my worry is you put an emphasis on Eastern Cape and KZN, whereas we do have a concern. We have been to Gauteng, we have been to Western Cape, and I can tell you, and that's not imagine Osini Lena, because what I was expecting, even in other provinces where we have been there, and the department does have our report as the portfolio committee, we have areas that we identified as critical areas in the Western Cape, and Mandenkosi is one of them, and the other one is in Mossel Bay. But you are saying nothing about those areas. So we have got a serious concern. So which means we as this portfolio committee, we would appreciate if you can think of reviewing this, because there are critical areas, and we have reported to the department that we do have a concern about those issues, those areas. So that is why I'm saying you only mentioned at least the KZN issue and the Eastern Cape, but we do have, from Free State, we have been there. I think Babulalele Zibabuzothwane ngayena. So I'm trying to say this information is very crucial for the portfolio committee so that we make a follow-up on it.
Yes, we will be we will respond to the call of the portfolio committee whenever we're requested to put it.
No, I think we have to call them, Titi. So before the budget vote, because this issue of quality, it's a serious concern to each one of us here in this house, and even the public itself, they've got a concern. And this rectification program, it's not acceptable that we become a rectification portfolio committee or a rectification department. And it's high time, DG, we put an emphasis, we popularize our strategy. How are we going to ensure that now? Since I told you, don't say it just to say in passing. Why are we not making a statement to say we are putting a foot down now? Because if I recall, since 2015, we've been saying, as you can see, that because this thing of quality of rectification has been extended for quite a number of years. We said post 1994 to 2002, we extended it. I don't know, 2010. When did we extend it up to 2010? So it's a serious concern. So this is a serious discussion of which we have to put our minds together, because the solution is here in this room. It's not with NHBRC alone. That is why NHBRC Freedom College will hold. We have to call NHBRC to order to us be in power, because this problem is not an NHBRC problem alone. This is not a problem for Department of Human Settlements alone. It's just a universal problem of which we need to assist other to address this honestly. I'm sorry, one of the members, I was tempted to comment on this one, but let me give you the opportunity.
Chairperson, I don't think I'm going to be long. I do just want to welcome the new chairperson, though. You've got a big job on your hands here, but I'm sure you're up to it. I am not happy with the presentation that we've had today. I want to endorse the fact that you do need to come back before our budget. I would also like to suggest that these new slides that we got today, that we get those, and you've actually got them, so there's no reason that before you leave here today, we can't get them and have them reproduced so that we can look at them. It almost looks as if this sort of arrived so that we weren't able to have a good look at it, you know. It's very disappointing. And I think the chairperson's absolutely correct. We've got to sit around here and we've got to find the solutions. Because if just off the top of my head, I think of a 16 billion rand, it was 22 billion this year, for this department, this portfolio, this department, this vote. And if you think in excess of 65 billion rand just on the rectification program, are we ever going to get on top of it? And I don't even know if what you've brought here is the total picture. So, you know, it's absolutely scary stuff. Perhaps what I could ask in relation to where perhaps you are at. It seemed to me that in some of the instances that you were saying that if people are enrolled with you, there's no rectification program. And yet some of the figures we saw there, and this is where we're at a disadvantage now, I can't go back and refer to them. It seemed to me that some of them were quite recent as well. Were you talking about stones hanging off or something, you know, to hold roofs down? That was only not even 3 years old. So, you know, how do we account for that? I think I'm going to leave it there. I feel quite honestly sick on my stomach. I think we have a huge job ahead of us. And I think we're going to have to really put our heads together on this one and see how we're going to, I don't know, get out of it, get on top of it. I'm not too sure what.
I'm obviously not going to ask the questions that I wanted to ask, seeing that the NHPRC is going to come back to us. I want to actually make a plea when they do come back that I think we need two presentations. We need one on this whole rectification thing, and then we need one on their strategic plan, because we've got to assess them in terms of the budget, and that's what we've got to do. But, Chair, I want to link a question to what you said earlier. I do realize that initially when NHPRC was established, that the subsidized houses wasn't required to be enrolled. But at some point, and I'm not sure whether it was 2006 or somewhere thereabouts, there was a requirement that all subsidized houses... Well, 2002. Now, we get a presentation here about houses that was built 6 months ago and 18 months ago. And I need to look at the NHPRC and say, where were you with those projects? Why were they should not have been part of this rectification. That is the bottom line. We can't, sit here and say, well, up until 2010, we weren't involved. And we now need all this billions, which we simply, I'm sorry, member Bowman, we're not going to get out of it and we're not going to get on top of it. But the other question I want to ask, Chair, related to this, valuable final products. The estimate for the number of units completed in 2010, 2011 is about 240,000, if I'm not mistaken. Yet, 14,410 units were enrolled. Now, is it any wonder that we've got this problem, Chairperson? Where's the other 200 and something units that should have been enrolled, that's compulsory to be enrolled? And we need to put this to the department as well, and to the municipalities, and to the provinces. That is why we're sitting with this. I'll be honest with you, Chair. I thought that 58 billion rand was 5.8 billion. I couldn't believe it. I put a question to the minister in writing asking for a breakdown because I thought the DG had made a mistake. I could not believe it was 58 billion. I mean, now it's 64 billion. By the time the budget is approved, it's going to be 70 or 80 billion. It is simply unacceptable, and it not only needs to be investigated, but heads must roll. I mean, the one cost that we haven't that hasn't been taken into consideration, if we do add the money for all this, people need to be relocated while that is taking place. There's no cost for that. I'm speechless.
Mr. Stan, I think we have to put stamp our feet down on the side of the department as well as the province. Because if you remember, NHPRC last year in their presentation, they reported a frustration from the provinces that are reluctant to enroll. And so far, we must be honest, we have not done anything as this portfolio committee to make a follow-up. Why those provinces? We should have called those provinces before the portfolio committee. At least the Ogwangoma to protect them for once. For what to come and go, Polly Lepine Young.
Amen.
So, but I think it's a point because in their presentation they've raised that I'm not sure whether I'm correctly
quoting them, there's an 80,000 units that are for enrollment this year. But my question is, the target for the national department is 220 annually. Am I wrong? So there's no balance. There's no balance in this. So, but I think next time when you come, must look at those issues.
Thanks, Sam. I won't ask a question, but mine is directed to DG. Yeah, because he is the one who is accountable to us, not to NHPRC. But I won't ask questions to NHB. Maybe we know better than NHB knows about themselves. That's why we are saying now we won't ask a question to them, but we would like to, when they are coming back, you must sit down together and sort out everything and then come back with one information. Maybe we know better than what they know. Thanks.
I am valid, Baba Chok. I say valid. It was a little but so poor, so long for the next session. I think the issue that I wanted to raise, when the visibility of NHPRC, we need to have that plan. Because it has been quite often mentioned in each and in the presentation, it is there. But this time we need a concrete plan that is going to be provided before the portfolio committee. And then the other issue, DG, I think has been a missing link to even to SRA. Because, you know, the state president in his State of the Nation address has emphasized that each and every entity or whatever department should come at least with the estimates that are also going to contribute in job creation. So that one we have also emoted with SRA. So if you can make a follow-up that you get that information. Because as I was saying, we're going to still request the department after the business plans have been received by the province, by the national department, to come and present. Because when we debate the State of the Nation address, we have to relate to those issues. We have to relate to the upgrading of informal settlements, all those issues. And I think there's an issue of, you know, in KZN, we really need areas. There's Ngotshane, we need an information about Ngotshane from you guys. There's an information that you will require. Because we understand that we have already begun to engage that municipality, Pongolo municipality, but there's quite a lot of them. But that information from Pongolo, there's a conflict information between the department as well as the municipality.
Yeah.
So that is why I think it is important that we receive a proper information from you. But with those few words, I think we accept the presentation on condition that you are coming back again to make a broader presentation before the portfolio committee. Then, DG, would you like to comment?
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I think we accept the guidance provided by the members, particularly with reference to try and separate the strike plan together with the financial implications for it from the rectification program, which becomes a program of the strike plan, so that we don't confuse the two. I think basically that's the trust of the guidance we're providing, and we accept that and we'll be working with colleagues. I think it's been the issue that the issue of rectification has become a matter of national importance for not only for this committee, but generally for government, that has been highlighted. But I think we should avoid temptation to cloud the two and separate. That's why at national level, we have highlighted with your recommendation that let us begin to centralize rectification to one center so that standards and norms in terms of assessments and rectifications are centralized. But I appreciate, Chair, that let's have a separate presentation on rectification, because that's where, again, you'll be able to unpack some of the challenges regarding the situation at a national level, broadly speaking. Chair, I can also assure the committee that all provinces, in the last discussions that we have had with the CFOs and SOFDs, we have emphasized that they continue to budget for rectification as they have been doing whilst we're in the process of centralizing. So there will be budget to attend to other rectification programs other than the conditional grant, which we'll try to centralize at national level to make sure that we're not only focusing in the pilot that we have been doing at KZN and Eastern Cape, but there are quite a number of lessons that we felt should be learned from the pilot. So rectification does not continue in the same way that it has been going on throughout the country, which eventually becomes a rectification of rectification. So, Chair, we accept your guidance. The CEO and the team and the Chair, we are all here. We'll definitely come back at any time that you will be ready. We shall be ready, because we'll be working on this from today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think the information was valuable. It was worthwhile. That was information that we really needed in our disposal. But this is the end to their perspective. I thank you. The meeting adjourned. We'll meet after 4:30. Half past four. Because members have got study groups. We have put 4:30. We meet at 4:30 to give members, we have got study groups after plenary, they attend to their study groups. And for any of the public committee, we can get an information.
I didn't want to be in the no for
M514. M514, Dada.
I'm shaking.
This is what we said you were doing initially, and then you started telling us about your picture. You said you must download it.
It's good to be. That's why I wanted to not to miss it. Yeah, I'm missing the other one. No, 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 no. When are you going to get it? I'm wondering around now. I'm not sure. I changed my time.
We have to stay here.
Because I'm still here. I was happy to see you. Still here. I'm phoning you. The member wants to pass. If the member wants to pass, the member she's going to rectify you.
You bring
she's going to rectify you.